Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 3:32 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 24th, and I'm re-recording the audio and video because a number of subscribers kindly reached out to me very shortly after I posted it and let me know that the audio wasn't working for some reason. My microphone was put on mute, and let's just call it a gremlin in the system. Well, when we look at what's going on in the world today, the ECB came out and Mario Draghi said that inflation is going up in a robust manner. Well, that raises a big question for the Eurozone. Firstly, if one is sitting with any of the over 7 trillion euro worth or dollars worth of bonds that have got negative yields in an inflationary environment, when the ECB's only mandate is to abide by an inflation target of close to but less than 2%, and they fear inflation, and they are pointing towards data that is that signals higher inflation. Well, negative interest rate, negative yielding bonds have got to be a particularly bad investment. So the German 2-year is coming right up to the upper side of the range that's persisted for most of this year so far. And it would really require a very clear downward dynamic to question potential that this isn't going to break higher. One thing, of course, that is also happening in September is that the ECB is going to stop buying bonds. Well, the bond buying program has been apportioned relative to the size of the respective economies, so the ECB has been buying an awful lot of German debt, considering how much larger the German economy is than every other economy in the EU. So that is something that I think is going to be coming home to investors when the ECB stops buying, and who's to say that they haven't already stopped buying. There is the additional point, of course, that is growth in the EU going to pick up and be robust enough to overcome the obstacle of higher inflation? And what the euro today suggests is that the prognostications that were coming out in rather robust form last week from a large number of commentators was that the dollar's rally is over. Well, certainly the euro has rallied enough to break the progression of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since January. But it has not broken above the 118 level, and that's coinciding with the region of the trend mean. Well, I personally think it's a little presumptuous to suggest that the dollar's rally is over just yet. I would much prefer to see the euro trading above 118 to come down in favor of that particular conclusion, for the simple reason that Europe has still got significant issues. And if we look at the performance of the Euro Stoxx Index, I think we get a pretty good example of that. There's been a progression of lower rally highs all year. And it's the same thing with the euro. Well, back in 2015, we had a significant depreciation in the euro and the stock market went wild. Well, the euro has been weak just about all year, and so has the stock market. So that is a testament to the fact that the stock markets themselves have been weak. If we look at a US dollar denominated version of the index, so like an ETF, like the SPDR Euro Stoxx, well, then we're presented with this almost decade-long range from the perspective of a US dollar investor. So that, I think, helps to highlight the fact that Europe is not hasn't been a particularly attractive destination for flows for the vast majority of globally oriented investors. And the jury is still out. This has not broken its progression of lower rally highs. In fact, this index looks almost identical to the FTSE MIB index for Italy. And here as well, we are presented with this almost interminably long range and a market that has just unwound a short-term oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and now the big question is whether it can manage to muster the wherewithal to push back above it and to sustain that move. And it has not yet done so. So there is the realistic possibility that with the ECB starting to remove, or at least it has stopped buying bonds, and its quantitative easing program is effectively over, and that inflation is starting to pick up. But there are still substantial challenges that arise for the condition in Italy, the continued deterioration of the Greek banking sector, increasingly acrimonious negotiations with the UK. Well, perhaps that is, we could put that down to brinksmanship until we get down to the probably the first, or excuse me, the last couple of days of the negotiations. But there are still big questions about the ability of the European economy to expand, and a stronger euro certainly doesn't figure in terms of the recipe for the export sector to continue to lead. So they don't want to have a stronger currency. Now, when we look at the DAX index, it's really rather different to what we're presented with Italy. It's been trending higher since 2009. It's been largely range-bound for 18 months. It has unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but again, here the progression of lower rally highs is still in place. So this is where it absolutely needs to bounce and continue to push higher in order to break that sequence of lower rally highs. And it is touch and go for Europe in here right now. Well, when we look at the Japanese market, it was in additional positive territory today. Now, it has rallied very impressively over the last seven or eight sessions. So there is a short-term overbought condition evident, and it is now right in the region of the peak back in January. So this is not wouldn't be a particularly surprising area for some pause and consolidation. But perhaps the more important point is that the second section index has bounced equally impressively, and it is now also in the region of a prior area of resistance. So as long as it can hold, and I think continue to hold, that 7,000 area, then I think the expansion in terms of the Japanese stock market will remain intact. When we look at the banking sector, well, Japanese banks have been resurgent recently, and again, they have also developed a very short-term overbought condition, and they're approaching a previous area of resistance, but it is back above the trend mean. It is there's been a progression of higher reaction lows here for the last few months, and it is challenging the downtrend from the beginning of this year. So again, this is another index that if it can push higher from here, well, we'd be starting to talk about back in bull market territory. Well, against all that background, Wall Street was in negative territory in early trading, but was able to recoup a good part of that, and the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. That's particularly the case for the NASDAQ 100, which had pulled back in early trading, but was able to reverse that and finish in positive territory. Well, there's certainly some evidence of buying the dips evident within this range over the last 3 weeks, but over the last 6 months, it has also been able to hold this progression of higher reaction lows. The fact that the Dow Jones was able to break up and out of its range last week was really the missing ingredient in terms of the Wall Street indices being able to say that just about all of them have now broken upwards. The Russell 2000 was the first to break on the upside, and it's been consolidating for most of this month, but it did steady today in the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range. And even the semiconductors index has steadied. It really was looking at that rather risky in the middle of this month, but it is now pushing back up towards the upper side of its range. Well, if we look at the lengthier chart, then there's been a really quite a marked loss of momentum over just about all of this year. And that was following a particularly consistent portion of the advance between 2016 and the end of 2017. So it really absolutely needs to hold to the region of the trend mean, and then also push above the 1400 point level to reassert medium-term demand dominance. Well, what all of this is starting to say is that Wall Street is still the relative strength leader. Europe has the potential to catch up, but things really do have to start going right there. And the outlook for the currency is going to be a big part of whether Europe is going to be able to prosper in a post-QE environment. The Chinese market was closed today, but last week we had for the Mid-Autumn Festival holiday, and it's going to be closed all of next week for that Mid-Autumn Festival Golden Week. And then last week we had the first evidence that demand is starting to return to dominance, with the banking sector rallying enough to break up and out of its most recent range. So that was the first really clear upward dynamic we'd seen in a couple of months, and it is now trading back above the trend mean, and it's broken its downtrend. If it can sustain this move through the balance of this week, then that will start to, I think, change attitudes towards the Chinese stock market. And considering that it has been trending lower just about all year, well, this is the time where it needs to demonstrate that it can sustain a rally. If it fails at this level, well, then the potential for a move, another down leg, will be what traders are going to start pricing in. So we're at a very interesting level in here right now. Well, then the Hang Seng in Hong Kong is still trending lower. It still has the progression of lower rally highs. And the Hong Kong dollar has been subject to a great deal of volatility over the last couple of sessions. Now, I think it is important to really pay attention to the scale rather than the size of the dynamics. If we just zoom out a little and look at it on a more weekly basis, the Hong Kong dollar has strengthened up a little bit in here over the last couple of sessions, because it had been spending most of this year testing its lower boundary. So what there is increasing likelihood of is that the Hong Kong Monetary Authority is going to be passing on interest rate hikes that are coming down from the Fed. If the Chinese banking sector looks like it is beginning to turn the corner, the Indian banking sector does look like it's at rather acute risk in here. It bounced off its lows on Friday and gave up almost all of that advance in here today. If we look at the biggest movers on the index, well, the biggest decliner on Friday was Yes Bank. It was down 28%, and that was pretty much unchanged in here today. But it was the banks that were somewhat steadier were those that were in had the biggest downward moves in here today. And also there's pressure coming through in terms of the housing developer sector. So for example, Indus in Bank has now broken its progression of higher reaction lows. It's broken below the trend mean. It's had its largest reaction in years. And this is type 2 topping activity. And if it is going to rally, well, it needs to be doing so in a pretty, it needs to be getting it done in a hurry. So this is a major trend in consistency. Now, the problems with Indian banks and non-performing loans and the relative rich valuations on the Indian market have been commented on by investors for much of the last decade. But it was the bankruptcy of a housing lender that had a highly leveraged one at that, which has been described as part of the shadow banking sector, which has really thrown the focus back onto the loan books of the Italian banking sector. So the RBI is now taking a more robust attitude towards them. And this is a situation that is going to weigh on the banking sector, not least when we look at, for example, valuations. Well, valuations with an historic PE of 27 is not exactly cheap. And when we look at, for example, the Nifty index, then it has an estimated PE of around 22. So it's trading at valuations that are well above what we see in some of the other emerging markets. But I think it's also worth highlighting that it is not the entire Indian stock markets breaking down. So, for example, Tata Consultancy, which derives the vast majority of its revenue from outside of India, was setting new highs in here today and continues to extend this really very impressive breakout. And of course, India is not subject to tariffs in the same way that China is, because the US in particular has got a clear vested interest in trying to support India as a counterweight to both Russia and China in that region. Well, when we look at what exactly is going on in the oil market, well, Brent crude broke up and away from its range and did so in a robust manner in here today. So this is reasserting on the upside. And as long as this breakout is held, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at the trend this year, we've seen two reactions of approximately $10. And subsequent to those consolidations, we see rallies of approximately $10. So if this trend is going to be consistent, then the next area of potential resistance is around $90. On the other hand, if prices start to surge higher, well, then that's going to represent a headwind to global growth. But most particularly, it'll be a headwind for the big importers of oil, which are India, China, and Japan. And of course, Europe. Whereas it's an awfully big question right now how much of a headwind it's going to be for the US economy, considering that the US is pretty close to being energy independent and is an exporter of oil right now. There's also the additional fact that WTI is trading at a discount of approximately $8 to $9 relative to Brent crude. It was in positive territory in here today, but not in as dynamic a manner. So that also helps to highlight that, yes, the US economy is very consumer-oriented, but at the same time, it is not as heavily influenced by higher oil prices as, for example, Europe or Japan or India or China, for that matter. Well, last week we saw that the industrial resources had bounced. Copper was a little bit softer in here today, but certainly not down in a dynamic manner, and it is holding this big move that we had on Thursday. Well, the most important thing it's done has been to break the downtrend since this failed run on the upside back in June. Now, it's right in the region of the trend mean, so this is about where we might anticipate a little pause in consolidation. If it can push above the trend mean, well, then we can start to think about the potential that we have for recovery. Well, the London Metals Index bounced emphatically on Friday, and it also did enough to break its progression of lower rally highs. Then when we look at the zinc price, it had a very clear upside weekly Q reversal last week and then upside follow through in here this week. And so this really does suggest that we're going to see a reversion back up towards the mean. And considering just how much it had pulled back, it's got ample potential to rally from here. That this does look like potentially a low of not just near-term, but potentially medium-term significance. Well, with the industrial resource is starting to come back to the fore, and palladium is certainly trading much more like an industrial metal than a precious metal. It has now rallied enough to push back above that psychological $1,000 area, and it has broken its progression of lower rally highs. So the potential here is that palladium is going to retake its position of outperformance in the precious metals sector. Well, platinum has continued to rally, but it is it really does need to do more to, I think, convince investors that this is more than short-term steadying. It has just about broken the downtrend since the beginning of January, and it has unwound more than half of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But it absolutely needs to hold the $800 area the next time it pulls back in a more dynamic manner. What it needs to do is to continue to put in higher reaction lows to demonstrate that demand is coming in at progressively higher levels. Gold prices have been hovering around $1,200. And it really does need to demonstrate that the fact that supply and demand have come right back into balance over the course of the last 4 weeks, that when you do get the next breakout, because a range is an explosion waiting to happen, that that breakout happens on the upside. If that does in fact happen, well, then the downtrend will have been broken, and the potential then is that there's going to be a reversionary rally. But the longer that gold goes sideways, well, the less of a overextension relative to the trend mean there's going to be. So this is a rather key level now for gold, because the longer it ranges for, the more likely that a breakout, when it occurs, is going to be dynamic in nature. And if we take a step back and look at the wider commodities index, and the CCI is unweighted, well, we continue to see that some support is coming in at the lower side of this two-year range. But there's been a great deal of volatility in the soft commodities in here today, with sugar pulling back in a very violent manner. And when we look at this on a longer term basis, well, we can see that $300 has been an area of support previously, but when it found support back in 2008, it did so in a very dynamic manner. And so far, we just don't have a lot of evidence that demand is returning to dominance beyond just short term steadying in the sugar market. Wheat, on the other hand, has been benefiting from drought conditions in much of Europe, and it has firmed from this 500 cent level. And that also represents the region of the trend mean. So this is still trending higher in a volatile manner, but it is definitely holding this progression of higher reaction lows. Coffee prices are still struggling to hold the 100 cent level, and lumber prices, having surged higher to all-time highs earlier in the year, well, they have been pulling back since they widened the limits, and it was in negative territory again in here today. But there is a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and it is very deeply oversold in the short term. So I don't think we could be too surprised if we get a bounce in here. Well, when I think we look around the world, we can see that Wall Street is still a relative strength leader. Europe has got some significant challenges. Japan is breaking out, and China is potentially now showing the first signs of support starting to come back in. The commodities complex is starting to bounce, and that should take some of the pressure off of those bigger commodity producers. But I think the big question that people are asking is whether this corrective phase that began in January has in fact ended. And with Wall Street having now broken upwards, just about every one of those indices breaking higher, I think the conclusion is yes, that this medium-term correction is over. Now the big question is, are we going to get a melt-up? Is there, if having gone through this period of consolidation, are markets now gathering for a significant rise? And I think considering that we are at the third psychological perception stage of the bull market, that is not beyond the bounds of possibility at all. And the fact that U.S. Treasury yields have so far been holding this move above 3%, and the action that we've had in the last few days, where moves higher were not held intraday, but they were today, and that the yield has been very steady in the region of that peak back in May, well, this suggests to me that yields are going to move higher. That means that money is coming out of the bond markets. If yields start to contract again, well, we could conclude that money was coming into the bond markets. But there is certainly a demand for more yield, and some of that money will start flowing into the stock market if it continues to trend higher. This kind of eventuality is something that we've talked about on a number of occasions over the course of the last decade, that the number one best performing asset over the last 30 years has been bonds. And there is an awful lot of money invested in bonds. And with the unwinding of negative yielding bonds, well, people are going to have to start putting their money somewhere else. And we have downtrends right now in government bond pricing. Therefore, the potential is that the stock market will start to attract flow. And that could be one of the potential outcomes that could see the price moving higher from here. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.